Today is the first Sunday of Advent, and you'll see our Advent wreath here before you. For those of you who didn't grow up in a tradition that celebrated each of the Sundays before Christmas, what we do is we light a candle for each Sunday of Advent. Advent means coming, and we celebrate at Christmas the first coming of Jesus. And so we'll tell the story, the Christmas story, with the candles. The candle today is the prophet's candle. Next week it'll be the angel's candle, then the shepherd's candle, then the magi candle. And then on Christmas Eve, when we're celebrating out on the property, out in the hub, outside, first time in probably 20 years that we've been outside for our Christmas Eve service, out there having communion, singing Christmas carols, you know, under the, and I'm asking God for the starlit sky that night, just a little cool. We'll light the fifth candle, which is the Christ candle. And we're telling the story through the candles. But today it's the prophet's candle. There are over 400 specific prophecies in the Old Testament about the Christ. Let me give you some statistics. Let's see. 12, 15, 17. That one person would fulfill 8 of those prophecies. That's 17 zeros behind it, whatever gazillion that is. One chance in 10 to the 157th power that someone would fulfill 48 of them. And one person in 300 prophecies. Well, only Jesus could do that. Hear what Isaiah said in Isaiah 9. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. We shall call his name Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His ever-expanding, peaceful government will never end. He will rule forever with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David. And the passionate commitment of the Lord Almighty will guarantee this. Today, we celebrate all those prophecies that were predicting the coming of the Christ. And we live in a day when we can watch a lot of those prophecies being acted out before us. Since Israel became a state there in the Middle East, they stand as a fulfillment of what God has done. When we celebrate the first coming, we also remember He's coming again, His second advent. Let us pray. Lord, we're surrounded today by all of these things that remind us that it is Christmas time. We remember your first coming to the earth, what the prophets had to say about it. Lord, on this Thanksgiving weekend, Lord, we give you thanks for all of the answers to prayer. All of those things that you have done in our lives, and it's all because of you, Jesus. Lord, the cross that we put up last Sunday that has upon it all of those thanksgivings, those personal thanksgivings. Lord, we bring those to you and more today. Ask you, Jesus, now that you'll speak to our hearts. As Pastor Rick comes to share the Word of God with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, kiddos, you can go to Kid Zone.
Well, so far, hope you've had a good time when it comes to the holidays. But if you're like most people who live in the culture, the reality is that the whole idea of the holidays is sort of a mixed bag. Some things go really, really right, and some things don't go really, really right. And the secret is to find a way to let the things that do go really, really right remind you that things that don't go really, really right are short-lived. But the reality is, we all have to go back to our patterns of life starting tomorrow, probably around 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning. And every single day, the battle continues to rage all around us. And sometimes the battle heats up during this time of the year. You know what I'm talking about? The fact that the gal that checks you out at the Walmart won't say, Merry Christmas. The fact that people that you see and smile at every day now actually wonder what to say to you when they pass you. They don't know what's acceptable. That is just one little symptom of the battle. And the battle's out there, and it really is raging. And it's not just about the holiday of Christmas. It's about the person of Jesus. It's about who you are in the world. It's about what our purpose is. It's a battle. It's a struggle for us. When we wake up in the morning, when you woke up this morning, there are two consistent realities. It'll be true tomorrow morning too. One is, God is with us. Jesus said He was Emmanuel, God with us, and He has never left us. In the Great Commission, He said He would be with us always, even to the end of the age. It's a promise. But that other constant is that our enemy has a plan formed against us, and we fight with it. We struggle. Sometimes we feel like we get distracted. Something hits us in the head, we turn our head, we get hit in the head the other way. Sometimes we can't even find our equilibrium because of that battle. Today I want to give you a little bit of direction that'll help you get ready for the battle. So for just a minute, I want you to think, you are a Marvel character. And you are getting ready for the next thing.
Villagers have been forced to take shelter in whatever crude dwellings they can find, in the ruins of other villages, or here in the remnants of an old Soviet smelting plant. Recent violence has been attributed to a group of foreign fighters referred to by locals as the Ten Rings. As you can see, these men are heavily armed and on a mission that could prove fatal to anyone who stands in their way. With no political will or international pressure, there's very little hope for these refugees. Around me, a woman begging for news on her husband, who was kidnapped by insurgents, either forced to join their militia, a child's simple question, where are my mother and father? There's very little hope for these refugees. Refugees who can only wonder who, if anyone, will help.
You heard that music in the morning? Would that motivate you? Bring that picture to memory. There's a battle going on out there. There's stuff that's going to come against you, and you got to get ready. It's not messing around. We want to think that everything's neutral. It's not. And we need to be ready. So let's talk about getting ready for just a few minutes this morning. What I want to start with is a question. And that question is, who are you fighting? This is a decision that every single one of us has to make every single day when we wake up. We have two alternatives. One is, we can fight with God, and to fight with God is to rebel. We know what He's telling us to do. We know who we're supposed to be. We know how we're supposed to live. We know what we're supposed to think. And the problem is, when we fight with those things, we are rebelling. We are fighting the wrong one. We're fighting the one that loves us, who has sent His Son to die for us, to be resurrected, to let us know that we have eternal life, and we're fighting the wrong person. The other is, we got to fight the evil one. And to do that is then to reflect the glory of God. Every time we have this image in our minds of all those great battle scenes where the hero goes out in the front of countless enemies to do the things that only a hero can do. That idea, that picture, is the picture of what it's like to reflect the glory of God in the middle of the battle that we live in. That's why those things encourage us, speak to us, and why we remember those stories so well. We have to make a decision. Bob Dylan sang it. Y'all know the song I'm talking about? You gotta serve somebody. It may be the devil. It may be the Lord. But you gotta serve somebody. And that's what we're deciding when we wake up in the morning. Who are we going to fight? Are we going to fight the one that loves us? Or are we going to fight the one that's trying to tear us down? How are we going to engage in the day? Now, once that decision is made, the next step to get ready for what lies ahead is what we were talking about just a minute ago when we watched Tony Stark get suited up. It's time to armor up for the day. So I want to give you some things to think about. The first one we find in Romans chapter 6, verse 13. The Apostle Paul said, "Do not offer yourself, any part of yourself, to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness." What a way to start the day. When you make the decision which battle you're fighting, and you're ready to go, it's time to present yourself and myself to God as an instrument of righteousness. Let me say this. The reason why we gather together here one day a week is not to network or to find a nice, comfortable environment to sit in, because sometimes it's too cold, sometimes it's too hot. It's not to eat muffins or grits, as good as they may be, in the fellowship hall. What we are here for is to present ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. We worship Him. How do we worship Him? We say, "Here we are. Every part of who we are belongs to You. There's nothing that I'm leaving out. It's all being presented to You." That's exactly what Paul is talking about. Presenting ourselves to God. That's what worship is. Standing before Him and saying, "Here I am. I'm Yours. I'm ready for the day. Let's go." Second thing. Next slide, John. James 4:7. We can boil down what I'm going to talk about for the next few minutes into two words. James does it very succinctly. He says, "Submit yourselves then to God," which is the first part, and resist the devil, which is the second part, and he'll flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. So it's submit and resist. Submit to God, the one that we don't want to fight against, and resist the evil one, the one we do want to fight against. We do those two things and we are getting ready for the day. So what I want to talk about as we talk about these things being somehow enacted every day in our lives, I want to talk about how these things relate to what we've been talking about as we've kind of preached through John Eldridge's Waking the Dead. And what I'll go ahead and do is give you this advertisement. I'm talking about chapter 10 today. And one thing that you're not going to get from me out of chapter 10 today is the fact that there is a scripted prayer that runs through the chapters that I'm going to be preaching through today. So if you want the prayer as a guide, you need to get the book if you don't have the book. And if you have the book, then look at it. Because I'm not going to use the actual prayer. Because I don't want you to think in any way, shape, or form that there is anything ritual or magical or anything about the actual wording of that prayer. Do you understand? It's just an example for how we put into action the things that I'm talking about today that are scriptural, that are in the Bible. And that's where we're preaching from. So the four streams that Eldridge talks about is discipleship, counseling, spiritual warfare, and healing. And as these things come together every day when we wake up, what we're talking about is making sure these things are at work in our lives as we start our day. And I want to talk about what that can look like just a bit. Again, these are strategic sort of directions I'm going to give you. They are not really prescriptive so much. And certainly the prayer that he's given is not. So what do I want to talk with you about for just a few minutes? Basically six things. The first thing that I want to talk with you about is choosing to abide in Christ. We look in John chapter 15, verse 5, pardon me. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do what? So it is extremely important that we understand that we have got to be connected to in a way that we get life to Jesus. If we are not connected, we are not abiding in Him, then we will not have the kind of life that we want to have in the heart of hearts that we have, nor the life that He has for us. So that's the starting point. Abiding in Him. Second point, we have to make sure that as we start the day, we understand we need cleansing. From whatever came before, whatever may be going on at the current time, as we start the day, we want to clean the slate. And so a good way to do that, as we're praying and as we're meditating and welcoming the day and presenting ourselves to God, is to confess our sins, because He is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins, and He will forgive us of all our unrighteousness. We've got to receive that, but we've got to ask for it. And we need to spend time considering what that really means instead of just saying it, instead of just mentioning words, considering what does this mean for me right now? What is God saying to me? What is it that I can tell the surgeon is saying is going on in my heart that needs to be removed? And when we do that, we find out that He is willing and capable and skilled at removing whatever is there that doesn't please Him. Whatever might get in the way of us entering into the day. Now, I'm not wording this well. Whenever I looked at that picture of Tony Stark in the movie, and I think about that thing that's glowing in his chest, I never until today thought of what a symbol that is of Jesus living in me. Sorry, just weird thing, okay? And how that was the power that gave him the ability to put on the armor and go get it, to go deal with the enemy. That had to do with a new purpose. It came from, for you and me, the idea of understanding that we've got to confess and repent and receive cleansing. You know, Psalm 51, one of my favorite psalms, it's the most powerful psalm, I think, in a lot of ways, because it's David coming to the grips with his own sin after he had been confronted with his sin of seeking after Bathsheba. Cleanse me, Lord. Wash me. Start me over. Let me get back on the path. And every day we need to make sure that we have invited God to do that. That we let His Spirit move in us and speak to us. The third thing, after we receive that cleansing, we make sure we've decided that we're going to abide in Christ, that is to submit to Christ's authority in our lives. 9:30, this is really all I talked about, was the idea of a spiritual authority. Now here's a story that I want to read to you that you're probably familiar with, and I want to plug it into what I'm talking about today. So in this story in Matthew chapter 8, a centurion came to Jesus, and the centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof." He was asking because he had a servant that was sick. "But just say the word and my servant will be healed, for I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one go and he goes, and that one come and he comes, and I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such a great faith." This guy understood authority. And if you and I are going to be ready for the battle, every morning we have got to come to grips with the authority that is available to us and has been delegated to us by God. We know that we have it because the Holy Spirit has come to bring the life of Christ to live within us. That's what happened when we submitted to the lordship and the authority of Jesus, when we were transformed and given new life. We're not the way we were. We're new. And because we're new, we understand this authority and we need to submit to this authority. Again, this kind of goes back to who you're fighting. If you're kicking up against God's authority and lordship in your life, then you're spending too much energy and time in the wrong direction and you're not fighting the enemy that's coming after you. So we need to make sure that we submit to the authority of Jesus Christ in our life and we say, "It's your plan, Lord, not my plan blessed by you. It's your plan that I am paying attention to and I'm acting on." And we need to do that every single day. The fourth thing that we need to be meditating and praying about every day is breaking agreements with evil. In our lives, for me, 59 years, there's times where I have agreed and given into, compromised with what I know was not true, was not right, was not good. And you have done it too, so nobody shake their head. We've got to break our agreement with those lies and with those things that we have compromised on. And every morning we get a chance to do that. In Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 2, Paul tells us not to conform to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That is a great start to breaking those agreements. It's not the end, but it's the start. Determining that we are not going to think the world's way, but we are going to think God's way. And we're going to see His values and His way of doing things instead of the world's way. I'm not going to assert myself. I'm going to let the Spirit of God move. And I'm going to follow His leadership. That's an entirely different way about going life, about doing things in life. Another passage. This one's a little bit longer, so hang in there with me. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. This is also something that will help us deal with this idea of breaking agreements with evil. Paul wrote to them, he said, "So I tell you this and insist on in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. How do you think the Gentiles lived? Why would he refer to them? Because they were living life on their own terms. They were doing what pleased them. They were doing stuff that had no thought nor intention of trying to honor God in any way. And he said it was in the futility of their thinking. That's what God thinks about it. It's futile. They're darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way that you, way of life that you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. You and I know, and I've told you hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times, and I'll keep telling you this, you were saved to become more like Jesus. You were not saved to be sitting on your blessed assurance. So our purpose is to become more like Jesus. That's why it all took place. Old, gone. New, here. Breaking agreements, making decisions to no longer agree and act on things that are not true about who you are, about who God is, about the battle that you're engaged in every day, about the way you are supposed to relate to and serve other people in the name of Jesus and live a life that reflects His glory. No more compromise and no more playing games. We sever the agreements. We take them, we tear them, we burn them. Every single morning. After that, after we've taken that step, we have to do the declaration of truth. If you look at Revelation, John's Revelation, there's a place there where he's describing things that are going on in the heavenlies. And he said one thing is that the saints triumphed over the evil one by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. We have got to love the truth and embrace the truth and speak the truth no matter what the consequence is. Declare the truth. So what is the truth that we have to declare? One of my favorite passages, one of the ones that I've earlier memorized in life, comes from Galatians 2:20. And to me, this kind of sums everything up. And it is, I've been crucified with Christ. And it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered Himself up for me. So where I was is not where I am, and what I'm going to do is not where I've been. I have a new life. We need to know the truth about God. We need to know the truth about Jesus. We need to know the truth about the Holy Spirit, and we need to know the truth about who we are. And if we declare that truth, we speak that truth every day, when we start the day, this is who I am. I am a sinner saved by grace. And by the grace of God, I have purpose, and I have a day before me that is a present, not just in time, but in terms of its precious value. It's a present. So tomorrow when we wake up, as oppressive as some of the things we may have to deal with are, we need to remember, this is a present. It's not just a labor. It's a labor of love. The truth about God, the truth about Jesus, the truth about the Spirit, the truth about us. Another part of this, Ephesians 6. Now this is where we really understand that picture of Tony Stark. because it's sort of like what Paul was describing to the Ephesians. He says, finally be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Next. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, in which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Now that's a morning. Now again, I don't share all this with you because I want you to work through this, forgive my vocabulary, pedantically. In other words, I don't want you to go through this thing like, oh, I've got to remember to do this, and I've got to remember to do this, and if I don't say this just the right way, then it won't take. No. I share these things with you because these are the things that we need to be bringing to our hearts and our minds when we start every day, so that we will be ready, armored up, because we don't know what's coming against us. We don't know what's coming against us when we walk out this door. I don't know why God brought this to my memory, but I was driving the other day trying to go get a car from a car place that was working on my car. And as I drove and turned on 21, I just remembered that plane going down on 21. And how nobody expected that to happen. And life can be like that. From our side, it can be like that. We got to be ready. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know that I can be ready, and you can too. And that is what waking the dead is all about. And it's just because he's just talking to us about who we're supposed to be. You get the message today. I'm going to close in prayer. And then we're going to do a couple of things down here at the front. We're going to be available if you want. If you've got something you want us to pray about, you got cards that you can write on and you can drop those in the basket. Or you can come and pray and we'll be up here for a couple of minutes. But this is real time. Okay? You all don't understand. There's a lot of people that gather together on a Sunday morning and they do not have time for anybody to pray with anybody else. The only thing they're concerned about is whether somebody prays a prayer. As much as that can be significant in somebody's life, please don't hear me saying negative stuff about that. But that's the only thing they care about. That is an important thing. And if you need Jesus and He's moving your heart, I want you to respond to Him today and say, yes, I need Him as my Lord and my Savior, and I need forgiveness, and I need new life. And I understand I've got to surrender to Him for that to happen. You can do that. You can do that when you're driving between here and home too. But we do want to give you that opportunity. But we want to make sure you know that the power of God, the love, the compassion of God is here now amongst His people and is available to you. Because we want you to be ready. to face whatever you got to face. Let's pray. Father, we're in your presence, and we are your people. And Lord, we acknowledge that all good things come from you. And you have called us to this place. You have called us to this time. And Lord, for some reason, some of us, our hearts are beating a little bit faster, and it's because we expect you to do something. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to us about what we need to do to respond to you, and that we would be crystal clear about what you're calling us to do. And Lord, if you are leading us to simply pray and be prayed over, that Lord, you would move us, and that Lord, we would find that there is great freedom and release and power in obeying you and what you say. So come as God leads. Let's listen to the Spirit and obey the Spirit as we pray. Okay, as we close this morning, we've got a person we need to send out. So, Youngin, come on up here. Y'all know Luke. He's grown up here. We're going to wait for Dusty and Logan and them to kind of finish. But in the meantime, I'm going to ask him to just tell you a little bit about why we're praying over him.
Hey, guys. So, first of all, I just want to say how thankful I am to have a family like y'all, to be able to come back home and to just see all the faces that I've grown up around. It's really a blessing. And so this Christmas break, I actually have an opportunity to go and serve with one of my college groups. And we are going to Arlington, Texas. And so any way that y'all can support would just be a blessing, prayer, whatever. So I just want to thank y'all for who y'all are and for who y'all have been in my life. Thank you. I'm going to be serving. So basically, it's called Mission Arlington, the group. And it's missionaries from Korea that came home and decided to just start what they did in Korea back home. And so basically, it's going to be doing anything from talking to people to serving, cleaning up the kitchen, mopping, whatever. You know, we're just there to serve. And so it's just, I'm really excited for the week and just to see what God has in store.
I can tell you a little bit, you know, Regina and I met in Fort Worth, which is right there next door to Arlington. This ministry has been around since the 1980s. Okay, they began as a ministry to essentially extend the church into apartment communities. And then they have just grown and serve so many people now in so many different ways in unconventional opportunities with people. And so it's cool to now see Luke going back to the same area that his mom and dad met each other around. And he may actually drive past that big place that we met somewhere in the course of the week. But it's a great opportunity. So some of you got emails about all this, but we just, again, thank you for your support. Now, as soon as they're through in that corner over there, we're going to invite you to come down. If you want to come and put a hand on Luke or hand on the people who got hands on Luke to pray over him, we invite you to come down. You can go ahead and kind of start in that direction now if you want to come do that. All right, Luke, I'm anointing you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As one or two of you feel led.
Father, I've lived out where he's going, and there's some really big, wide open spaces. You can see forever. And I just pray that you fill that space with your presence, with this mission team coming, that you go before them. And Lord, I just ask your blessings upon Luke. We have watched him grow up. He's not a little boy anymore. He's a man. And he's chosen to do this, and he feels called to do this. And you can see that his heart is in it. And I just ask you to cover him with your presence, to fill him up with your Spirit, to give him grace, to protect him as he goes. And Lord, to be bold, to have courage. This is an opportunity that not not many people get. And even if he only changes the life of one person, that is one person in your kingdom. So Lord, we just, as a body, we come before you. We lift him up to you. And we ask you to continue to love him and to raise him up for you.
Blessing for loving you, having an open heart, loving all he encounters. Let him do wonderful things. Let him meet people that will see in him what life can be. Thank you, God, and keep him under your umbrella and keep him safe.
Lord, I pray for safety for my brother Luke, God. He is a gift to us, Lord, and I think sometimes we can take that for granted. I pray that you know that he is a gift, Lord, that his light will shine where he's going, but also, God, in the bigger scheme of things, that you'll kind of reveal to him more of your plan for him.
I want to pray for the spirit that's upon Luke to be on the rest of us from Mission Savannah. Send us to serve in the places where you put us.
Luke, can you receive all this?
Okay.
All right. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Sending you out into the rain right now.
Yeah, boy.
Damn, boy. Mama's falling over.